Welcome to the Swing Resample Lab. In this lesson, we're building one of those bass lines that feels like it came off a grimy old tape loop, but still punches through a modern DNB mix with real precision. The goal is simple: crisp transients, dusty mids, a solid mono sub, and enough swing to lock into jungle drums without drifting off into chaos. We're in Ableton Live 12, and this is an advanced workflow, so we're going to think like producers, not preset shoppers. We'll build the bass in layers, perform a groove in MIDI, resample it to audio, then chop and reshape it until it becomes something more alive than a loop. That resampling step is huge here. We're not doing it just because it's convenient. We're doing it because audio lets us make decisions, commit to character, and turn a good idea into a real arrangement weapon. First, set the scene. Get your tempo somewhere around 165 to 174 BPM. If you want that classic jungle pressure, 170 BPM is a sweet spot. Keep the project in 4/4 and decide how tight or loose you want the MIDI to feel. For this kind of bass line, I usually start with a moderate quantes setting, then add groove by feel rather than forcing everything onto the grid. Now let's talk groove. Open the groove pool and try a subtle swing setting, something like an MPC 16 swing groove. Don't overdo it. The bass should lean, not wobble. A little timing movement goes a long way when the drums are already busy. Apply the groove to the MIDI clip, then keep the groove amount fairly restrained. If the drums are driving hard, the bass just needs to sit in the pocket and push back a little. Next, build the bass patch as three separate layers inside an instrument rack. This is the heart of the sound. Think in rolls, not just tones. One layer handles weight, one layer handles movement and grit, and one layer handles definition. If all three are loud all the time, the line gets muddy fast. Start with the subchain. Keep this super clean. Operator works great here with a sine wave, fast attack, short decay, and no unnecessary stereo width. The sub should be mono, stable, and boring in the best possible way. Its job is to hold the foundation. If the sub starts getting fuzzy or wide, the whole bass loses authority. Let it be simple, then build the mid-grit chain. This is where the character lives. Use a saw or square bass patch, add a filter, and push a little saturation. You can use auto filter with a low pass curve and some drive, then follow it with saturator or even a touch of redux, if you want a slightly degraded texture. This layer is what gives you that dusty hardware feel. It's not supposed to sound polished. It's supposed to sound like it has history. Finally, make the transient or attack chain. This is the trick that helps the bass cut through chopped breaks. Use a very short click, a bit of noise, or a tiny high-pitched transient. It can come from operator, simpler, or even a sampled rimshot-style hit filtered hard. Keep it brief and focused. We want the front edge of the note to speak clearly, but we don't want a huge click sitting on top of the groove shouting for attention. That layer should be more felt than heard. Now write the MIDI phrase. Keep it syncopated, compact, and responsive to the drums. Jungle bass often works best when it leaves space rather than filling every gap. Use short notes, offbeat pushes, ghost notes, and the occasional octave move for impact. A really effective approach is to build a phrase that feels like a conversation. One hit answers another, then a little space, then a stronger reply. Let the break lead the phrasing. If there's a snare fill or a busy drum moment, place your strongest bass note around that energy rather than always landing on obvious downbeats. Velocity matters a lot here too. Give the main notes more force, let ghost notes sit lower, and reserve the hardest accents for moments that need emphasis. If your synth supports glide or portamento, turn it on and use short note overlaps where it makes sense. That can give the line that classic liquid but rude movement that old-school bass lines are known for. Now focus on timing. This is where the groove really comes alive. Keep the important anchor notes tight, but let the body notes sit a touch behind or ahead depending on the feel you want. The transient layer should stay tighter than the mid layer. That split is powerful, the attack is precise, the body is a little loose, and the sub stays steady underneath. That contrast is what makes the groove feel human and heavy at the same time. Once the MIDI phrase feels good, record it. Create an audio track. Set it to resampling or take the bass directly if you want isolation, and print a clean pass. If you can, record more than one version. Do one pass dry or lightly processed, then another pass with extra drive or automation. This gives you options later, and options are everything when you start chopping. Now comes the fun part. Drag the audio into a new track and treat it like source material. You can slice it to a new MIDI track if the notes are clear, or loaded into simpler and slice mode for more hands-on performance. The idea is to break the phrase apart and rebuild it with more intention. That's where the old-school energy really starts showing up. You're no longer just playing a bassline. You're editing a performance. After that, shape the resampled audio with processing. Start with EQ8 to clear up mud and define the useful zones. If the bass is clouding the break, trim some of the low mids. If the transient needs help, preserve a little bite in the upper mid-range. Be careful not to over-EQ the life out of it. The dusty part of this sound is part of the vibe, so small moves are usually better than big corrective surgery. Then add drum buss or saturator to bring out the attitude. Drum buss can make the mids feel more animated and speaker busy, which is perfect for this style. Saturator helps glue the layers together and gives you that warm grime without destroying the low end. If you want extra movement, use auto filter and automate the cutoff subtly across phrases. Don't constantly sweep it. Use it like punctuation. Open it for a fill, darken it for tension, then let it breeze back open again. This is where resampling becomes really musical. Start trimming tails, creating gaps, duplicating tiny hits, and reversing one slice here and there. A single reversed note or a duplicated flam can make the bassline feel like it's mutating in real time. That's the old school trick. Repetition, but with slight instability. The listener recognizes the pattern, but every 8 bars there's a little shift that keeps the ear engaged. As you refine the sound, keep checking the relationship with the drums. The sub should stay mono and locked in the low end. Don't widen anything important below around 120 Hz. Let the body occupy the mid-range without stepping on the snare or chopped break detail. If the bass sounds massive in solo but dull in the full mix, it's usually too thick in the 300 Hz to 1.5 kHz zone. That range is where the dust lives, but it also has to leave room for the drums. Now think arrangement, not just loop. Old school jungle and DNB work because of phrase movement. Don't let the bass sit as a flat 8-bar loop. Build sections. Start with filtered fragments or just sub. Then bring in the mids. Then let the full version land. After that, alternate between full and reduced versions so the ear doesn't get tired. Trip out the transient layer for a section, then bring it back harder, or use a different chop pattern in the next 8 bars. Small changes like that keep the track moving without losing identity. Here's a very useful mindset for this style: contrast beats density. One sharp hit after two quieter or filtered notes can feel much bigger than a constantly busy part. So don't feel like you need to fill every space. Sometimes the best jungle bass line is the one that knows when to back off and let the break breathe. A few advanced moves are worth keeping in your pocket. You can build two related phrases and alternate them every 4 bars so the bass feels familiar, but not repetitive. You can answer a low octave phrase with a high register variation. You can keep one version staccato, then lengthen just the last 2 notes in the duplicate. You can also do a second resample pass at a different loudness level. A slightly underdriven render often chops better because the transient edges stay cleaner, while a more cooked version can give you extra attitude. Those 2 renders can be gold when you start comparing which one sits better in the track. Also, don't forget the attack. If your bass needs more snap, try stealing a click from a rimshot, closed hat, or another percussive source instead of relying only on synth transient generation. A non-bass source can sometimes give a cleaner note onset than a synthetic click. And if you want darker aggression, parallel distortion on the mid-range only can sound better than distorting the whole patch. Keep the sub pure, and let the grind live above it. For your main exercise, aim to build a 2-bar loop at 170 BPM with a 3-layer source, sub, gritty mid, and attack layer. Write 6 to 10 notes total, including at least a couple of ghost notes and a couple of offbeat hits. Apply groove, resample the performance, chop it into a handful of slices, then rebuild a second variation with a reverse hit, one duplicated flam, and a bit of filter automation. Compare the clean version against the cooked version. Ask yourself which one feels more jungle, which one hits harder with the drums, and which one has the best dusty mid texture. That comparison is where your ears start to level up. The big takeaway is this: build bass in rolls, keep the sub clean, dirty up the mids, make the attack short, groove the MIDI with intention, then resample early and use audio editing to create movement. That's how you get a bass line that feels tight enough for modern DNB, dusty enough for classic jungle, and rude enough to make the tune move. If you want, I can also turn this into a shorter studio-friendly voiceover version or a timed lesson script with section cues and pause points.